We kind of been going through the book of Acts a little bit this all day today, and so I want to continue. As I was preparing this afternoon, the Lord kind of changed the direction on what I had planned. I had planned on preaching out of Acts chapter number 4, but He kind of shifted that and changed it from what I originally thought I was supposed to preach. So you pray for me this evening, and so I believe the Lord has something for us. But if you would go ahead and stand and for the reading of the Word of God here in Acts chapter number 4. We're going to start in verse number 13, and then we're going to skip over to verse number 23. But Acts chapter number 4, verse number 13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Now skip over to verse number 23. It says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Verse number 29. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the words of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things common. And with great power he gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Verse number 34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, who is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet." Lord, we sure thank you for the day. God, thank you for being so good to us. God, I pray for these next few moments that you would give me exactly what needs to be said tonight. God, I pray that there would be nothing standing in the way of me getting the message across. God, I pray that you would open the ears and hearts of the people. God, bring conviction. God, bring encouragement. We'll give you all the honor and the glory and the praise for it. In Christ's name, pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Here in Acts chapter number 4, we've been in the book of Acts all day long. If you were here for Sunday school, AM, and then tonight, if you watched online, whatever it may have been. And we picked up in Acts chapter 1, and the Lord Jesus Christ had just ascended up into heaven, and he gave the disciples, the apostles, well, the last great command. They were to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. That was in verse number 8 of chapter 1. And we continue there in chapter 1, and it says they were all in one accord and gave and made and were praying with great supplication. And then in chapter number 2, it was the day of Pentecost, as you know, and the Holy Spirit came in and dwelt the believer. And in the Old Testament, we know that the Holy Spirit came upon men of God and moved among them, but there was never the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer. But here in Acts chapter number 2, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells for the first time the believer. We learned that, and we continued. And in verse 38 of chapter 2, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent," and he begins to preach that great message on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people get saved. And then for AM service this morning, we talked about the lame man that was there and the 5,000 that eventually trusted Christ as their Savior there in chapter number 4, the very first part. But I want to focus your attention tonight on two verses, verse number 13 and verse number 31. Verse number 13 says, let's read it again. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Now look at verse number 31. And it says, "When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." The place was shaken where they were assembled together. I want to preach on that thought for just a few minutes. The place was shaken. The place was shaken. Here, you find, and we're going to kind of go through the whole chapter, the whole fourth chapter here, and beginning in verse number one, we find that the men of the temple there come and they get Peter and John and take them and put them in prison, and they become prisoners there in Jerusalem, and for all they've done is preach the gospel, and they get them and they put them in prison there. And then we continue on down to verse number 7. And they're questioning these men. In verse number 7 of chapter 4 says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this?" They're speaking of the lame man that has just been healed. They come and say, "Oh, by what name and by what power has this man that has been laying at the gate all of his life been healed? How is it that you just healed this man?" And for Peter and John, a light bulb moment comes on and say, "Man, this is a good time to give the gospel. This is a good time for us to share about the Lord Jesus Christ." I love it. It's happened to me 4 or 5 times now. One time I was taking a trip. I was flying to Florida, and I was wearing a suit that day, and I was fixing to board the plane. The lady stopped me and said, "Sir, are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm a preacher." And so I was carrying my bag, my carry-on there, and she said, "Hey, can I check that for you?" I'm like, "Absolutely." So she took my bag and checked it, put it under the plane, no charge. And she said, "We just want to be a blessing to preachers." I'm like, "Well, thank you very much." And so the next question that I asked her, I said, "You thought that I was a preacher, so are you a Christian?" And any time I was at McDonald's here a few weeks ago, and I went up and ordered and got a large coffee, and I ordered the coffee, and the lady said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm a preacher." I was wearing a suit that day too. She said, "Well, the coffee's on the house." She's like, "Don't worry about paying for the coffee." And so, and then my next question was, "You thought I was a preacher, so are you a Christian?" And so here Peter and John, they come and they begin asking, "By what power, by what name have you just done this?" And Peter and John say, "Okay, this is a good time to share the gospel." So Peter begins to preach, and he's a very short preacher. He only preaches for 4 or 5 verses there. I'm going to read it to you. In verse number 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people," this is a very bold statement, "be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." What a statement that was, as Peter just makes to the people who crucified Christ. As he said, they asked him, "By what name have you done this?" And they said, "By Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one that you, a few days previous, have just crucified." What a convicting statement that was. What a bold statement that was. Verse number 11 says, "This is a stone which was set at naught of your builders, which had become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And that verse is still true today. Only one name you can trust in to get you to heaven. We've seen the prisoners, then we've seen the person of salvation. We talked about that this morning in verse number 4, after those 5,000 just trusted Christ. We see Peter's sermon. Then I want you to notice the people's response. The people's response. When Peter said, "In Jesus Christ is who we gave the power to this man to be healed. After being lame for so long, it was only through the power of Jesus Christ," he gives that sermon. And then the response was, we read it in verse 13, "These men have been with Jesus." These men have been with Jesus. And then I want you to think about verse number 31. It says, "When they had prayed, the place was shaken." How can we expect God to send a public shaking if we don't spend time in private supplication? How can we expect God to send a public shaking here if we don't first spend time in private supplication before Him? We can't. It's impossible. We're going to skip over a little bit to verse number 23. Verse number 23 says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." It says that on their own company. I believe that's speaking of the church. I believe that's talking about the 5,000 and the 3,000 that just trusted Christ there in Jerusalem. And it says, "were added to the church daily, such as should be saved." I believe that company that is speaking there is the church. And if God is going to send that the place of shaking, if He's going to send a shaking to Valley Avenue Baptist Church, it's not going to be the sports team in town. If He's going to send revival to Fall City, it's not going to be the sports team. It's not going to be this or that. It's not going to be anything that happened in Fall City except for Valley Avenue Baptist Church. It's going to be the church that experiences revival. It's going to be the church that makes the impact in Fall City. It's going to be the church that turns Fall City back to God. Nothing else.
Amen.
Nothing else. First of all, we see the people. It was the church. Then I want you to notice the praise. Notice the praise. Look at verse number 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. You say, what is that they're speaking of? When it says, when they heard that, what is that? Can you imagine as Peter and John have left the church, they've went to the temple and found this lame man who's been sitting there day after day after day. We talked about that this morning. That lame man is healed. 5,000 people trust Christ. They're hauled off to prison. They get to preach a gospel message to the priests that are in the temple, the leaders in the temple, the rulers of Jerusalem. They get to preach this message that we just talked about before them. It says then, if you continue reading through that, it says that they stepped aside, all the counselors stepped aside and said, what can we do to these men? With this lame man that used to be lame standing here, there's no charges we can put upon Peter and John. They let them go. They come back in verse number 23. And it says, and being let go, they went to their own company. That's the church. Can you imagine as they come back to the church and give a report of what's just happened? It's kind of like what Brother Chad did a few minutes ago by reading the missionary letters. They weren't here in bodily form, but they were giving a report to the church. Can you imagine as the church is standing there, maybe these 8,000 people are gathered, and Peter and John say, you're not going to believe what's happened. You're not going to believe what God has just done. We went down to the temple, and this lame man who's been laying there, you know who he is, you've seen him. The lame man that's there every day, he got healed. And he began to make laps around the temple. And then as we're standing there, a crowd begins to form. We begin to preach the gospel to all these people that are there. And then the prison guards come and they take us away. We got to preach to them. They let us go. They come back and they're giving this report to the church. And what does the church do? And when they had heard that, verse number 24, and when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They simply gave God praise. And any time the church is going to experience revival, you say, this sounds a whole lot like Sunday school. It is. And any time the church is going to see revival, be because of two things. Prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. They go hand in hand. And here the church of Jerusalem, brand new church. Church was started with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is, not very old at all. And here they are beginning to give God praise. Number one, we've seen the people. Number two, we've seen the praise. Number three, I want you to notice the persecution. Notice the persecution. Look in verse number 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that we with all boldness... I'm sorry, in verse number 29, let's read it again. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And any time we decide to take a step for God, it'll be persecution. Any time that we decide to take a step for God and move forward, get closer to Him, there will always be opposition in our life. Any time you decide that you're going to spend a little bit more time reading His Word, you're going to get a phone call, somebody's going to knock on the door, the kids are going to be upset and need your attention. Anytime you decide you're going to spend more time in prayer, like we talked about this morning, we're going to talk about it in just a second, something else is going to call for your attention. And how can we expect God, I said it a few minutes ago, how can we expect God to give us a public shaking at church, in the church house, if we haven't first spent time in private supplication with Him? giving him praise, asking him, begging him to do something here. I believe revival requires a recognition of sin in our own life. Until we come to grips with the fact that we're the ones that need revival, we'll never experience revival at church. I hope that makes sense. It's easy to see where everybody else needs improvement. It's easy to see where everybody else needs to do this different or that different, where they need to improve in this area or that area. But in reality, we're the ones that need revival. Until we see the need in our own life, we will never experience. It's like going on a diet. You're never going to go on a diet until you come to the facts with the fact that you need to be on a diet. That's why I don't look in the mirror. And so that way I don't have to know I need to go on a diet. Anyway, that was supposed to be a joke. Nobody laughed. Okay. That's why David said these words. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. David didn't say, oh, the nation of Israel needs revival. The nation of Israel needs to come back to God, which they did. But David said, search me, O God. Try my heart, O God. And until you come to grips with the fact that Valley Avenue Baptist Church needs revival, yes. But more than that, you need revival. So, back to verse number 13. And it took notice that they had been with Jesus. Today, have you been with Jesus? I don't mean coming to church. Coming to church does not count. Have you been with Jesus? Have you took a few moments of your time and set aside, say, I'm going to spend time with Jesus in private supplication. So when I get to the house of God tonight, this morning, today, we can see where the place was shaken. And if this week we're going to see the place shaken, if we're going to see God do something here that's going to make a lasting impact, it must first start at home. First of all, we've seen the people. Second of all, we've seen the praise. Third of all, we've seen the persecution. Then number four, I want you to notice the prayer. Notice the prayer. Verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. I mentioned this morning about spending time in prayer at the altar after Sunday school. I mentioned spending time in prayer between the services, between Sunday school and between AM. I mentioned spending some time in prayer this afternoon as you were back at your house. So, let me ask you another question. Did you spend any time in prayer this afternoon? You don't have to answer the question. It's a rhetorical question, but ask yourself, did you spend some extra special time in prayer asking God to do something? If not, then don't anticipate Him to do anything. You just came to a service so that you could be seen, you could be here, not because you expected God to do anything. Prayer is the most powerful tool in all the world, but so many times, it's the one that's left in the toolbox. Prayer is the most powerful tool in all the world, but so many times it's a tool that's left in the toolbox. Prayer is really what changes things. You getting out and working and sweating and trying and whatever it may be, whether it's to get somebody here, and I'm not saying don't invite them, but if you start with prayer, it'll get you a whole lot further. It'll get you a whole lot further. Amen. When is the last time you lost sleep or shed a tear over somebody you know that's lost? Man, that's convicting. That's convicting for me. When's the last time I lost sleep over somebody that I know is lost? Man, I talked about this morning, loving your neighbor. If we really love that person like the Lord wants us to, we'd probably lose some sleep over them. We would probably shed some tears over them. We might even skip a few meals for them. Prayer brings God's energy and wisdom to man's tasks. Prayer brings God's energy and wisdom to man's tasks. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. One man said it this way: no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. And if we want to have a powerful Christian life and we want to see God do something, you're probably thinking he's repeating himself. He's just saying, no, I'm trying to get you to see the theme. It's all the way through the book of Acts. Revival, prayer, praise. Prayer, praise, revival. Yes, there's preaching, but never preaching before praise and before prayer. It does very little good for us to come to the house of God and hear preaching if our hearts are not prepared before we get here in prayer and in praise. There will never be such a thing as powerful preaching or a powerful church without prayer. Prayer lubricates all the wheels of the church machinery and guarantees evangelistic victory. Guarantees. Prayer never fails. Prayer, I said it already, prayer is the most powerful tool in all the world, but so many times the one that's left in the toolbox. At a revival service in a village on the west coast of Africa several years ago, a little native African girl brought of her meager possession to show her devotion to Christ. That young girl, recently saved from paganism, brought a silver coin worth about 85 cents and handed this to the missionary as her gift to the Savior. The missionary was astounded at the size of the offering and hesitated to accept it, supposing it must have been obtained dishonestly. He was shocked when he asked the girl for an explanation of this lavish gift. The young girl told him that she had gone to the neighboring planter and bound herself, sold herself into slavery for the rest of her life so that she could bring this coin and give it to the Lord. She brought the monetary value, the monetary equivalent of her life, and placed it as a gift at the feet of her Lord. She gave the rest of her life, a young girl sold the rest of her life as a slave for 85 cents. So she could simply give that, in our minds, small amount of money to God. She, in essence, gave everything she had. But we can't give a few minutes each day, a couple times a day, to have private supplication before God so that He can make and He can do, He can have a public shaking here before us. Number four, I want you to see the promises. See the promises. Look at verse number 33 and 34. And with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. And when we sell out to God, when we give Him everything we have, He never fails us. We talked about that this morning. He never fails us. He never leaves us hanging. It may seem that way. It may seem that He's passed on by, but He never leaves us hanging. He always gives us a promise, a verse, a nugget to hang on to from the Word of God. Number five, notice the possessions, and we'll be done. Notice the possessions. And verse number 35 says, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, speaking of, back to verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Gave everything that they had, sold it and brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. They sold all their possessions. A true sign of revival is when we give up everything. When we sacrifice everything. Revival equals sacrifice. We talked about this morning, we don't want revival because it messes up our routine. We got our routine going. We got everything set in motion just the way we want it. And revival is going to mess that up. A little boy put on his clothes for the cold, and then told his father, "Okay, Dad, I'm ready." His dad, the pastor, said, "Ready for what?" The son said, "It's time to go outside and distribute some gospel tracts." The dad replied, "Son, it's very cold outside and it's drizzling." The child looked surprised at his father and said, "But Dad, people need to know about God even on rainy days." The dad replied, "Son, I'm not going outside in this weather." With despair, the child said, "Dad, can I go alone, please?" His father waited for a moment and then said, "Son, you can go. Here's the flyers. Be careful." "Thank you, Dad," said the young boy. And with this, the son went out into the rain. This 11-year-old boy walked on the streets of the village, handing out these flyers to the people that he saw. After 2 hours walking in the rain and in the cold, and with his last flyer in his hand, he stopped at a corner to see if he saw anyone to give that last flyer to. But the streets were totally desolate. Then he turned to the first house he saw, walked to the front door, and rang the bell several times and waited, but no one came out. Finally, the boy turned to leave, but something stopped him. The child turned back to the door and began to touch the bell and pound the door strongly with his knuckles. He kept waiting, and finally the door was opened gently. And the lady came out with a very sad look and gently asked, "What can I do for you, son?" With radiant eyes and a bright smile, the child said, "Lady, I'm sorry if I've upset you, but I just want to tell you that God really loves you, and that I came to give you my last flyer," which talks about God's love. We talked about God and his great love. The boy then gave her the flyer. She just said, "Thank you, and God bless you, son." Well, the next Sunday morning, the pastor was in the pulpit, and when the service began, he asked, "Does someone have a testimony or something they would like to share?" Gently, in the back row of the church, an older lady stood up. When she started talking, a radiant and glorious look sprouted from her eyes. "Nobody in this church knows me. I have never been here before. Even last Sunday, I was not a Christian. My husband died a while ago, leaving me totally alone in this world. Last Sunday was a particularly cold and rainy day, and it was also in my heart that on that day I came to the end of the road since I had no hope and didn't want to live anymore. Then I took a chair and a rope and went up into the attic of my house. I tied one end of the rope to the rafters of the roof, and then I climbed onto the chair and put the other end of the rope around my neck. I then stood on the chair so alone and heartbroken. I was about to throw myself off the chair when suddenly I heard a loud sound of the door being knocked upon. So I thought, I'll wait a few minutes and whoever it is will go away. I waited and I waited, but the door knocking was getting louder and louder every time. It got so loud that I couldn't ignore it anymore. So I wondered, who could it be? No one ever comes to my door to visit me. I released the rope from my neck and went to the door while the bell was still ringing and the door was being knocked upon. When I opened the door, I couldn't believe what my eyes saw. In front of my door was the most radiant and angelic child I've ever seen. His smile, oh, I can't describe it. The words that came out of his mouth made my heart, dead so long ago, come back to life. When he said with the voice of a cherubim, "Lady, I just want to tell you that God really loves you." When the little angel disappeared between the cold and the rain, I closed my door and read every word on that gospel tract. Then I went to my attic to remove the chair and the rope. I didn't need them anymore. As you see, and now I am a happy daughter of the King. As the direction of the boy when he left was to this church, I came personally to say thank you to that little angel of God who came just in time, and in fact, to rescue my life from an eternity in hell and replace it with an eternity in God's presence. And when the pastor of the church wouldn't step outside in the cold and in the rain, a little 11-year-old boy stepped outside to hand out a few gospel tracts, a few flyers for the church that ultimately saved this lady's physical life and this lady's spiritual life. He had to make a very small sacrifice, it would seem, at the end of the day. In the moment, while his dad was at home, he probably thought, this may be a waste of time. This may be not worth it. But in the moment on that Sunday morning, as that lady stood in the back of the church and began to testify about how good God had been and how God has saved her from hell, I'm sure he thought, and it was worth it to go out in the rain. It was worth it to go out in the cold And if we are going to have revival this week, you're going to have to make some sacrifices to set some time aside, give God some praise, and to spend some time in prayer. We can't expect God to send a public shaking of Valley Avenue Baptist Church if we don't first spend some time in private supplication. We've seen the prisoners. We've seen the personal salvation. We've seen Peter's sermon, the people's response. We've seen that who was speaking here is the people of the church. We've seen how they praised God. We've seen the persecution that came. We've seen the prayer, the promises, and the possessions. Lots of peace. But let me ask you again. Have you been with Jesus? Have you been with Jesus? Maybe you're here this evening and say, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure that if I die tonight, I will spend an eternity in heaven. Man, we would love for you to know that. We would love for you to know that you're on your way to heaven. If you have questions, ask Pastor, ask myself. Have you been with Jesus today? And don't expect God to shake this place tonight or tomorrow night, tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, and Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and Wednesday night. If you don't come prepared. We show up to church expecting the preaching to do it, but it never will. We skip the first two. We skip the praise. We skip the prayer and show up for the preaching. Say, well, God just didn't send revival this time. We'll have to wait till the next meeting. And God's saying, you just spend some time thanking me for how good I've been to you, giving a testimony like we heard tonight. Spend some extra time making a sacrifice. You may have to give up something. Spend some time in prayer, begging God. Is revival worth it to you? Is revival worth it to you? Let's say it one more time and we'll be done. How can we expect God to send a revival? How can we expect God to send a public shaking to this place when we first haven't spent some time in private supplication before Him? At the end of the week, I said it this morning, at the end of the week, you have the remains of a revival, or a revival that remains. If you'd all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you'd come to the altar and say, I haven't spent as much time today in prayer for this week as I should. Maybe you'd come to the altar and say, I haven't given God praise for how good He's been to me. If we thank God for how good He's been, we could be here for hours thanking God for how good He's been. If we thanked God for how good He's been. If you thank God today, said this morning as well, I don't remember how it went for sure, but if you gave God praise for what He's done today, what would you have tomorrow? If you only thank God for what you have today, what would you have tomorrow? Can't expect God to send a public shaking if we don't first spend time in private supplication.